The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, one who had died was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, Jesus said, moved with pity for her, said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted. And Jesus said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, explaining, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding regions. Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the last 7 days, I was privileged to accompany 7 people from this life into resurrection. And as a chaplain, that can happen, even though most of the people I work with go home well in recovery. But in the midst of this week's 7 people that I accompanied, I was reflecting on these scriptures as I was reflecting on their stories. There was a young man in probably his mid-40s who died of cancer. 2 young daughters and a wife and many family members. And as I walked in the room, the nurses said, he just died. And you could hear wailing as I walked into the room. And the nurses were like, "Do something." And so I walked into the room, as I say so often, with all of you with me present, because that's what we do together in ministry. And there was really not much I could do except be. But these scriptures are in the back of my mind. So I have enough faith in Jesus, I could make this man rise. That would be pretty cool on the 60 Minutes news tonight, you know. I might even give some hope beyond political battles and all the other battles and the fires and all the other stuff. And I stood there knowing that if God willed, that would happen. But that there was another reality, that this person was with God. I knew that young daughter would not hear anything that we might say at this time because of her pain and her loss. Now we have some young people here tonight that are about to go to, is it Disneyland that you're going to? Or who's going to this way of missionary place? Are there a few of them here, I think? We heard some of them on the screen. Okay. What place are you going to? Costa Rica. And I assume that it's not going to be, you're going not to go to the beach and just hang out and have wonderful Diet Cokes and all those other good things. But you're going to be in ministry and in service, as the video showed before Mass. It's a time for you, away from summer vacation, where you could be doing those fun things, you choose to go and be with other people. And one of the challenges when any of us do those kind of missionary works is we struggle with these scriptures. Because the scriptures make it sound like we should walk in, and if someone is poor, we'll give them food to eat. If someone is without work, we're going to give them work. Someone has a problem with their leg, we're going to touch it and it will be made whole. And so often you will walk in this ministry experience like I did in that room, which I do on a regular basis, and know that God's will includes somehow the suffering and the struggles of our world, including death. But one of the gifts that we all bring at that moment is the gift of presence. A gift that says to that person or people, you are not alone. That not only we are with you, I am with you, but God and the kingdom of God is with you. In our ritual as Christian Catholic people at the moment of death, the prayer that we primarily pray along with the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23, but very specific to our tradition beyond those two prayers, is the Litany of Saints. And that Litany of Saints is there to remind me and them that this community gathered around a person who has died is never alone and is immediately being brought into that larger community. For people that you will visit in Costa Rica, or any of us that do other kind of missionary work, whether it be the local jail or a homeless shelter, whatever it might be, when we bring that presence, we say to that person or that group of people, you are not alone. So Jesus touches the coffin and says to the mother, do not weep. Now that's kind of the opposite of what we're trained to do as chaplains. We want people to weep. We want people to have their feeling. But Jesus' invitation was to see beyond what was about to happen. As the world remembers and celebrates the life and legacy of Muhammad Ali, they remember those periods of his life that some people relate to and other people don't. But in the midst of all of his life process, as he journeyed with his own spiritual life and his own life with violence and nonviolence and all of that, was a common message that he lived about the dignity of each human person. And as he journeyed that life, people that felt outside, unwelcomed, left out, whether it be as African American himself, and after returning from receiving the gold medal, being told he could not use the same water faucet and same restroom as his fellow Americans could use. As he walked the life of Parkinson these last decades, in that gentleness of life that many of you have walked with your loved ones, in that journey of life that is present and distant and present and real and sometimes disconnected, he, like us, we are invited to remember that he was a leader in the context of his words of hope. And Jesus in the gospel is a leader in healing in this gospel. But we are called to believe that these miracles can happen every day. How often at our hospitals does a person with cancer of this style recovers and goes home well? A miracle. How often does a young person that comes into the hospital after a tragedy in a game or some sporting event or car event goes home with a broken leg but recovers well? How often do things so often end up in miracles of healing in many other ways other than just death and resurrection? The first reading is a little strange. I don't know if you read along, if you were not awake or not, but I'm assuming Safeguard the Children would not allow me to do this. To lay on the child three times for healing, to raise them to life, seems a little bit disconnected in our worldview today. But the theory there, like the gospel reading, was God wanted his messenger to be present to this family, to this person who had died. He was wanting to be present through his prophet Elijah to this very tragic situation. The gospel in the first reading reminds us that God is always with us, but especially walks with us in those tragic moments, in those difficult moments. Now, I know some of you are about to have some finals in the next few days, few hours. And I know some of that is a pretty strong burden on people because can I remember all those details and those dates and those facts and all those things? And hopefully you've studied and you will, and you have another 48 hours to cram a little bit more and put some more in those brains of ours. But these are moments when we turn to God and say, I've done my best. I've read the books. I've attended classes. I've worked on my papers. I've done my research. I've done as much as I can. And if I haven't, I say, fill in the gaps, oh God. Fill in the gaps. And I study a little bit more until that test takes place. God is with us in these difficult moments. He's always with us. But the two stories in the scriptures tonight remind us that he's with us primarily in those moments that we feel abandoned and alone. In both stories, the death of a person. In both stories, healing takes place. In both stories, resurrection takes place. So when Ali's family talked about his death, they said, we don't need to mourn, we need to celebrate his life. Resurrection is the gift that we're all promised by our God. Whether we call God Jesus, Yahweh, Krishna, Muhammad, Ali, whatever the name of God might be, God invites us into that trust that he says he will always be with us. The second reading reminds us, and especially our missionaries, that when we go to other places, whether to a neighbor, whether it be at the food kitchen here, or visiting someone who's sick or someplace or in another country, that we go with the gospel of Christ, the hope of Christ, the love of Christ. Not the condemnation, not the judgment, not the pushing and separating, but the call of Christ. The second reading reminds us that that's the reason why Paul had to remind himself, because he was the persecutor, he says, in the second reading. But he was turned around. He came to understand that division and hatred and bitterness and judgment, all of that was wrong. And then he found God. And so he reminds us in the second reading that what we do when we reach out, we don't have to say with words even, but by our love, by our affirmation, in another country, even in a language that's different than those people, just by being present, by holding up children, by painting walls, by doing those simple tasks, we are saying to them that God is present and God is with them in their most difficult time. May this week be filled with moments of healing. Maybe not quite the resurrection stories that we see in the scriptures. Maybe not the resurrection that we at the hospital might want to see on a daily basis. But may we see those miracles, those stories of hope, those moments of light, that moments of after studying so hard that one document, the question comes up and you're able to nail it. You're able to get it from point A, B, C, and D. You're able to remember that experience that you did in your research, that moment that someone in your class put up their hand and asked a question, and that question triggered the answer inside you. May this week be filled with moments of miracles. And in those miracles, let us trust in this God who is ever with us in joyful and wonderful moments and in these moments of challenge and struggles. Amen.